Welcome to the Drafting Table Podcast. This is episode 2, hosted by Dominion Due Diligence Group. You've got me, Daniel Walton, here, Director of Sales and Marketing. And today I've got Mike Ferguson, President and Principal Engineer here at D3G. Last week we talked a little bit about something that was exciting and a nice tool for lenders to use to offer additional products to their borrowers, save money, and also help the environment by the development of a green product in multifamily housing. Today we're not going to talk about something that's quite as exciting, but something that has a much larger impact on the entire industry, and that's the release of the CNA eTool version 3.0. The day that we're recording this podcast is July 27th. Today is the very first day that the conversion window has opened up. We are already seeing requests from multiple lenders about the conversion process. There's definitely some confusion out there, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to get Mike on the line with us here to talk about some important dates upcoming, a little bit about the process itself, some resources and tools and materials that are available, the lender's specific responsibilities moving forward, and then towards the end we'll wrap up downstream effects. We're going to keep this quick, so we're going to get to the good stuff. Mike, how's it going? And if you don't mind, give us a little background on what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, hey Daniel. Most of you are aware HUD's been working on a new web-based e-tool version 3.0. They began discussions with KPMG in 2019, and I guess development began in the fall. Version 3.0, if you're not using the functionality of it, it appears to be very similar to the Excel-based version. So, you won't be too surprised when you see it. There's a lot of differences with the web page and dashboards and that sort of thing. But the biggest change is for the needs assessors that have to complete the tool and populate it. You'll find some sections on that are some important information. If you want to go to the HUD.gov website, multifamily housing production links, there's a CNA e-tool section there with operational bullet and a few videos with tutorials. But in general, we're on a data transfer period that began today, and the go-live date of version 3.0 is August 24th, and it's going to be here quickly.
Yeah, every day seems to be moving at warp speed right now. You mentioned August 24th is when the tool becomes live. I think right now what we're seeing is requests from lenders for current engagements, things we're working on actively right now. We're seeing requests for tools that we maybe worked on months ago that are just getting to the point where they're ready to be finalized. And then we also have some properties that were finalized and potentially submitted to HUD 12 months or so ago that are now looking to update because things just took a little longer than expected. So we're seeing the whole spectrum of where CNA could be right now. And we have like a 3-week span to fit all of those potential CNA e-tools into this conversion window. But I think one of the big things to point out is that it's not necessarily something we can do to help expedite the process, because if it's my understanding that this time around the lenders are going to have a little more of a responsibility with the tool. Is that right?
Yes, correct. For the data transfer period, again, that began today and that goes till August 20th, 11:59 Eastern PM. So during this time, the lenders want to transfer the existing e-tools to the web-based version, so the data will transfer over. And they're the only ones that have the administrative responsibilities or permissions to do that. The needs assessors cannot. So essentially, they go through their normal process of validating in their submittal portal, and they don't have to officially submit. Now, I haven't really played with or seen what the lender's portal looks like, but I understand there's a validation process there. But once you validate it, that will transfer the data over. So you can take any past, any current e-tool in almost any form of completion and go through that validation. Even if you have severe flags, you can still validate the tool. You'll have the severe flags, but it'll transfer. So when the transfer period ends on 8/20, come 8/24, that will be the day that the needs assessors can go back in and start operating on the tool. So really, you have a 3-week window of transferring data. You have a long weekend's worth of blackout. So on 8/21 through 8/23, nobody can do anything. There'll be no validation. There'll be no submittal portals. There'll be nothing. The Excel legacy tool and all supporting platforms will be obsolete. Actually, it'll just be dead.
Right.
So then come 8/24, we're all going to be working on the web-based version.
Right. I think you brought up a really interesting point there when you mentioned not seeing necessarily things from the lender's point of view with the portal. You know, other than a couple YouTube-based training sessions, very generic, very general, there hasn't been any formal training, hands-on user experience training of a fully functional tool for this version 3.0 for the preparers or for the lenders. And from some of the HUD contacts that we've been working with on a regular basis, they're a little bit in the dark on the tool as well. So, you know, personally, from our perspective, you know, the timing of this release probably couldn't be worse considering all the COVID-19 related inspection delays that we're dealing with and the lack of leniency provided from HUD. That combined with this new tool with the blackout period in a very short window for conversion for us will be thousands of reports. It's a little concerning. I feel for the lenders because I think they have a lot of responsibility over the next few weeks that they're unaware of. I know there's a lot of vacations right now. I get a lot of out of office. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to point out that the lenders need to be responsible for this time around that they haven't in the past?
Really, that's the big one is the data transfer period. So I just want to, focus on that a little bit. So I'll even take another step back. Correct. There has not been a lot of training, and the instructions are still being completed and worked on. Development of the tool, so beta testing, part of the MBA CNA e-tool committee, we went through three stages of beta testing, and the third and last round of beta testing completed a few weeks ago. So they were still going through all the comments and the issues that everybody had during that third beta testing, and they're still developing and making changes. So we know that. So there is no completed tool start to finish that anybody's had really to play with. I mean, it's close to completed, but there's still development going on. So going back to the idea of the dates, the data transfer period, everybody's going to have, like you said, we're going to have reports in any stage of completion. You know, projects that are stale, any projects that will need to be updated sometime in the future. The deal went on the back burner for whatever reason, you know, and it might come alive again in another month or 2 months or 3 months. So the lenders aren't thinking about those projects, but that data is valuable. So let's get those e-tools submitted or go through the validation process on the lender side. So then that data can actually transfer over into version 3.0. So if we need to come back to those projects in 3 and 4 and 5 months down the road, the data is there. Other projects, and actually you can go through your data transfer period for those projects at any time. Timing doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. It's not impacting anybody's current process. Active projects where a draft report was issued. If we issued a draft report in the last 3 or 4 or 5 months, or even yesterday, the lenders will want to get the latest and greatest Excel-based tool and submit that. But, you know, kind of going through this process, once you submit it or validate it, I keep saying submit it, I'm sorry. But once you validate it and transfer that data, a version of that e-tool is going to be created on the web-based side. So I would recommend we do that one time. We don't want multiple versions sitting out there in version 3.0. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know if it's going to create confusions. I just assume it will.
Right.
So we want one version. So if you've got an active project and you're calling us here and making revisions to that current report, you know, let's just wait until close to 8/20 before you do your final validation.
Yep.
Because then we can't do anything on that report.
It's a really good point you brought up, and that's something that I'm always thinking about, you know, based on my position, what's incoming, what's next, what does our capacity look like for the next couple months? It's what keeps me up at night. But what also keeps me up at night is thinking about all the report revisions, because right now the industry as a whole is at 200 to 300% capacity compared to this time last year. Granted, there was a little government shutdown last year, but still every lender we work with is absolutely slammed. Everyone's having a record year. HUD itself has said they're expecting a high water year. So the timing right now is concerning, because we're going to have lots of reports that not only have to be converted right now, but they also are going to have to be revised and tweaked and finalized. And that entire process of handing the tool from me to the lender, from the lender to HUD and back, it's a mystery to us all. So everyone right now, one of my themes from the last podcast was fast, fast, fast. How quickly can we get this submitted? Well, right now, we're going to rush to get things submitted, and then no one understands the next step to revise and finalize a tool because we just haven't been able to get our hands on it. So that's something else that kind of keeps me up at night that I'm personally worried about. And then, you know, we've talked about the efficiency of the process and the important dates and all the things that the lenders really need to be thinking about. Another thing is the financial factors. That's something that, Mike, you know, we get asked questions about every single day when we're making tweaks to the annual deposits, the per unit, and just figuring out where can we get the finances to land just right so that it's suitable for HUD, suitable for the property. That's a whole practice that's been really close to our hearts for a while, even though it isn't supposed to be. From my understanding, we're no longer going to be able to make those adjustments, and it's going to become fully the lender's responsibility. Is that your interpretation as well?
No, that's exactly it. You know, HUD, David Wilderman, has been adamant that's not the responsibility of needs assessors. We shouldn't be completing a funding schedule. We shouldn't be recommending deposits. You know, so he's been saying that for a lot of years, and now they just have control. You know, with the web-based tool, they can control. So we won't even be able to make changes. I'm not even sure if we'll actually be able to even see that. But we won't be able to make changes to the initial annual deposit. But every third party is probably going to have their own way of operating around this version 3.0. So we'll still be able to, Dominion will still be able to provide recommendations. You know, we're going to mimic the replacement reserves and the funding schedule, just like the web-based version does, and we'll be able to provide we won't be able to change it in the tool, but we'll be able to provide guidance to the lenders as to what we think is recommended.
Yeah, we're still going to work through the process as we have in the legacy tool and PCNAs prior to that, but this is definitely a change for the industry, and just based on the tone of this conversation, it's easy to anticipate loss of efficiency, some issues and delays caused by just the passing back and forth of the tool, things that aren't probably going to be well received by our client base because it's just going to take longer to do simple things. And right now, no one wants to, you know, do anything that takes any longer. And then it also brings up cost. I mean, at the end of the day, these are man hours. And the time that it took us to complete a capital needs assessment from beginning to end, after we sorted out the kinks with the last tool, which will now become the legacy tool, I mean, that impacted our ability to produce a report by about 20%. And therefore, that was a cost increase to cover the man hours. We're doing everything we can here to stay ahead to avoid having to pass that cost back to the lender, therefore the borrower again. But I think it goes without saying that this could have a cost impact to our services as well. But we're doing everything we can to avoid that. But it's a little difficult when you haven't had the time to train or actually work within the tool to create those efficiencies that we have now. So we're getting, again, our goal here is to keep these around 15 minutes because we know everyone's busy. We've got a little bit of time left. I just wanted to see if Mike had anything else he wanted to add in before we wrap things up.
Yeah, just to go back to that, if you go back, if history repeats itself, we did probably lose the Excel-based e-tool, probably about a 25% reduction in capacity. You know, I think the industry felt that. I mean, on the MBA committee, all the other third parties talked about it. So are we going to have another reduction? I'm sure we are. Where are we going to get back to is the question. So we're going to drop off, probably gain some efficiencies, some understanding, and we'll pick back up. You know, so initially we probably lost 30%+ capacity when the original e-tool came out, and then we picked it back up. But we had a huge period of time. Remember when they gave us a phase-in period, so to speak. So we were able to do that with the Excel base and really learn and figure things out. But right now, this is going to be a light switch. It's going to be on. It's going to be off. I just want to also, one other thing, if you have a project that is going to be submitted to HUD prior to, or has been submitted prior to August 20th, you don't have to do anything. The lenders, right, once you submit it, it's in there. The data will transfer over, so you do not have to do anything. So if you go to that website, you'll see a couple of videos there. There's a 12-minute video that discusses everybody's responsibilities along for submitting or validating just the data transfer period. So, hopefully everybody just, it's going to be a lot of patience, and I know everybody's having a banner year. Business is great. Interest rates are down. It is a tough time to do it, but hopefully we all get through it.
Yep. Well, Mike, I wanted to thank you for coming on today. I know you've been answering a lot of questions and working with the MBA group. 727 to 820, that is your data transfer window. Work with your third parties now. If you're a lender, get used to the system. Get your projects in the system right now. You will thank me for it later. Blackout period is August 21st to the 23rd, and we go live on the 24th with a brand new CNAE tool. Look forward to working with you guys through it all.